All right. Well, now we're going to open our Bibles and we're going to get into the Word. You can turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel 17, verse 32. 1 Samuel 17, 32. Tonight, we'll be sharing on how God always delivers. Our God always delivers. In 1 Samuel 17, 32, it says, "And David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine.'" And this is the record of David and Goliath, which we're all very familiar with. "And Saul said to David, 'Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. For thou art but a what?" A youth. Yeah, but a youth. Little kid. A youth. Teenager. "And he a man of war from his youth." He's been a soldier as long as you've been alive. "And David said unto Saul, 'Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I ran for my life.'" Because have you ever seen a lion or a bear? Look at that sheep. Verse 35. "And I went out after him, and what? Smote him, and I punched him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me," because, you know, you punch a bear or a lion, they're going to rise against you, "I caught him by his beard, punched him again, and slew him." That's pretty amazing. So David decides, instead of running for his life, he would go out after him because, hey, he took a lamb, and he beat him up and killed him. A bear and a lion. Verse 36. "Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." David said, "Moreover, the Lord that what?
Delivered
me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine." So who did the delivering?
God.
He faced a lion. He faced a bear. He recognized that it was God who did the delivering. God delivered him out of the paw of the lion. Because let me tell you, you punch a lion in the face, it's not going to end well. "And Saul said unto David, 'Go, and the Lord be with thee.'" So it was God who did the delivering, and David understood that. The word deliver in this verse is to pluck out of the very hand of an adversary. To pluck out of the very hand of an adversary. So that's what the word deliver in this verse means. It's like God just pulled him out. There he was, facing the lion, facing the bear, these giant animals that could literally tear him apart. And God just said, and helped him slay him, helped him get out of the situation. Go to Psalm 34, verse 17. "And it was because of David's heart that God helped deliver him." David's heart was to go get that lamb back. That was his job. It was his duty to protect that flock as a shepherd. That was his heart. And God honored that and delivered him out of the hand of the bear and the paw of the lion. And his heart when it came to Goliath was that this guy, I'll refrain, this dude is defying the armies of the living God. He's talking smack against God. That was his heart. And God's going to honor that. Psalm 34, 17. "The righteous cry, and the Lord what?
Hears.
And delivers them out of all their troubles." God hears when we cry out to him. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saves such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them, him out of them all, without exception. Without exception. So God is our deliverer. He will deliver us. He hears it when you cry out to him. He's looking for you to cry out to him when you need help. He wants to help you, right? And you have a choice. You can remain silent, or you can cry out to God. And it says that he will hear you. It says that he's near you. He's near to you when you have a broken heart, right? And when your spirit aches, right? When something's really troubling you, God's near. He hasn't left. He's a great deliverer. And this psalm was written by David after God delivered him from Abimelech, right? He was the king, and he wanted to, obviously, kill David. But God showed David, to act crazy in front of Abimelech. He acted like a madman, you know, foaming at the mouth and stuff, to get away. Abimelech was like, get this lunatic out of here. Didn't even think about the fact that that was King David. So he wrote this after that experience, that God is a deliverer. God took care of him in a crazy situation like that. Go to Deuteronomy 23. Deuteronomy 23. Verse 12. Deuteronomy 23:12. This one's just kind of fun. This is instructions on how to go to the bathroom. So if you ever think that God's word doesn't have all things that pertain unto life and godliness, it even has stuff about how to go to the bathroom. Thou shalt have a place also without the camp, outside the camp, whither thou shalt go forth abroad. That's where you'll go. And thou shalt have a paddle upon thy weapon. So when you take out your little sword with you out into the area beyond the protected side of the town, you'll also have a little paddle on the end of it. You want to know why? It shall be when thou ease thyself abroad, when you sit down and use the bathroom, you will dig therewith, and shalt turn back and cover that which comes from thee. So like a cat, you will bury it. There you go, that's the instruction. For the Lord thy God walks in the midst of thy camp, to deliver thee, and to give up thine enemies before thee. Therefore shall thy camp be holy, that he see no unclean thing in thee, and turn away from thee. He doesn't want to walk in your poop when he's walking through the camp, right? Obviously, figurative and not literal, but God is in the midst. He's there to deliver you. He walks among you. He's that close. The bathroom stuff is just for fun. But the point is that God is there to deliver you. He's right there next to you. He walks among you, looking for ways to take care of you. Psalm 50, verse 7. Psalm 50, verse 7. Aren't you thankful we have toilets?
Yeah.
Yup. Cats still do it the old-fashioned way. Psalm 50, verse 7. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings, to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he-goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou that glorify me. So God is saying, look at how big I am. I don't need all of this stuff. I don't need the actual meat of these sacrifices, like I hunger for something. If I needed to eat, the entire world is mine. But what he wants is 14, offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High. He wants you to recognize him. He wants you to be thankful for what he's done for you. He just wants you to say, thanks, God, I appreciate it. And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. And the word deliver here is a gentle yet powerful liberation, like it's effortless. You know, it's a complete freedom, but it took very little effort to do it. Right? It's complete liberation, but it's effortless. And that's how God delivers us. That's how God delivers us. Go to Deuteronomy 25. Deuteronomy 25, verse 5. Deuteronomy 25, verse 5. This is another very fun one that leads into a usage of the word deliver. If brethren dwell together, and one of them die, and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. So, got a bunch of brothers living together, they have wives, but one of these wives has no children, and the husband dies. It says that wife isn't supposed to go out and find some stranger to marry. Her husband's brother shall go into her and take her to him to wife. So she's going to marry the brother instead, stay within the household, and perform the duty of a husband's brother to her. And it shall be that the firstborn which she bears shall succeed in the name of his brother which is dead, so that that name would live on, that his name be not put out of Israel. And if the man like not to take his brother's wife, then let his brother's wife go up to the gate, to the elders, and say, my husband's brother refuses to raise up unto his brother a name in Israel. He will not perform the duty of my husband's brother. So if the brother's like, meh, kind of a bit of a, I don't think I'm gonna marry you, for whatever reason, he doesn't want to take her, then she gets to go complain to the elders in the gate. Then the elders of the city shall call him and speak unto him. Listen, buddy, this is what you're supposed to do. And if he stand to it, he says, no, I'm not going to take her. Then verse 9, then shall his brother's wife come unto him in the presence of the elders, and loose his shoe from off his foot, and spit in his face, and shall answer and say, so shall it be done unto that man that will not build up his brother's house, and his name shall be called in Israel the house of him that has his shoe loosed. Nailed him! Really got him with that one. So forever that guy will be known as the house of him that has his shoe loosed. So you better marry your brother's wife when he dies, or you're going to get spat on and be called this thing forever. But the point is that the word loose here is the same word as the word deliver in Deuteronomy 23. Psalm 50. A gentle liberation. As easy as to slip off your shoe, that's how easy it is for God to deliver you. All of a sudden your foot is relieved of its shoe, and it took no effort at all. That's the same word there. So that's how easy it is for God to take care of you. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1. Biblical insults are harsh. 2 Samuel 22. The house of him that has his shoe loosed. Yikes. 2 Samuel 22, verse 1. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. And all these words describe how God protects and delivers. He is a shield. He is a fortress. He is a high tower. This was great praise from David when God had delivered him from Saul and all his enemies, that he looked to God as his refuge and as his Savior, who saved him from violence. I will call, verse 4 again, I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. And again, he called out to God. He recognized God as one who is worthy to be praised, and God delivered him. That's all God wants. He just wants us to recognize him, to be thankful for all that he's done, and to call out to him. Go to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, verse 26. Because God is our complete deliverer, and he always will deliver. Whether it's out of the paw of the lion and the bear, whether it's out of armies, God will deliver you. Whether it's just out of heartbreak or mental stress, God will deliver you. Maybe it's out of a deadly situation, like in Daniel 3:26. You ever heard of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego? Verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the what?
Fire.
That burning fiery furnace. The burning fiery furnace that was so hot that it slew the men who threw them into the burning fiery furnace. They walked out of it. And the princes, governors, and captains, and king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, even their clothes didn't burn, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. We all know the nice smell you get after sitting by a campfire. Right? They didn't even smell like fire. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that what?
Trusted
in him, because they refused to bow down and worship the other gods, the false idols. They believed and they trusted in God. When the king's command was to do otherwise, they said no, because they trusted in God. And have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces, and their houses shall be made a poop pile, a dunghill, because there is no other god that can deliver after this sort. Nebuchadnezzar recognized the great power on display there, that this fire had no harm on them whatsoever. And he recognized that there's no god that can deliver that way. No other god can deliver after this sort. No one delivers like our God. He is the one true God. We have the one true God as our deliverer. Go to 1 Samuel 2, verse 1. 1. We're going to take a look at a couple more verses about how it's God and only God. There is no other. 1 Samuel 2, verse 1. And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. And this was Hannah's prayer after Samuel was born. Her prayer of great thanksgiving, great praise to God who had delivered her. Her deliverance was to have a child. That's what she really needed in her life, really wanted in her life, to have a child. I mean, she was so blessed that God delivered her, allowed her to have a child. Hers was physical deliverance. Go to Isaiah 45, because she couldn't have a child. She was barren, and God delivered her. Isaiah 45, verse 5. So if it's a physical ailment, God can deliver you. If it's a dangerous situation, God can deliver you. Isaiah 45, 5. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun. Where does that happen?
East.
From the west. In every direction. That there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. That is God's declaration. Verse 18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he has established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, Seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, that you are escaped of the nations and have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. You know, these other things that they were setting up, these wooden images, these carved out images that they prayed to, they cannot save. Verse 21, tell ye, and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me. A just God and a Savior, there is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. So that's God's declaration. There is none else beside him. Look to him. No one else is going to be able to deliver you the way that God does. There is none else but God. Go to Psalm 33, verse 13. Psalm 33, verse 13. The Lord looks from heaven and beholds all the sons of men. He sees all of us. From the place of his habitation, he looks upon all the inhabitants of the earth. That's you and me and our neighbors. He fashions their hearts alike. He considers all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of a horse or a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. So these are some things that other people associate with delivering, with power, with strength, right? A big army, a multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. His own, you know, beefy resolve. He can lift 1,000 pounds, but that's about it. He can't deliver you. A horse is a vain thing for safety. You know, that back then it was horses and chariots, today it's big old tanks, right? That's a vain thing for safety. Behold, verse 18, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, that reverence him, that respect him, upon them that hope in his mercy to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our hearts shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. So when we trust in God, he will deliver us. All that other stuff can't deliver us the way that God can. Our heart will rejoice in him when we trust in him. And that's all we need to do, is to trust in him. Go to 2 Samuel 22, verse 1. And in that last section, we saw that God sees all of us. He looks around for us, for ways to take care of us and deliver us. Because God really does care about you. This section we're going to read is God's reaction to us crying out to him, to us being in trouble. 2 Samuel 22, verse 1. We read these first four verses earlier. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. This is what David was facing. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. And he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. So we see over and over again that God just wants us to cry out, to reach out to him, to ask him for help. So he cried out, and this is what happened. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven moved and shook, because he was what? Wroth. You know what wroth means? It's not an IRA. Wroth means he was really angry. He was teed off. Why was God angry? Because somebody was messing with his kid. Somebody was messing with his kid. And so that kid, David, cried out. And God got angry. The earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven moved and shook. Because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and a fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also, and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind, and he made darkness pavilions around about him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Through the brightness before him were coals of fire kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. And he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning and discomfited them. And the channels of the sea appeared, and the foundations of the world were discovered at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. So like the whole ocean is moving apart, and the foundations of the earth are opening up at God rebuking. Verse 17, and he sent from above, he took me and drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for who?
Me.
That's right. And sometimes that happens. Sometimes what we face is too much for us. But is it too much for God? Nope. It's not too much for God. So even when it's too strong for us, it's never too strong for God. They prevented me in the day of my calamity. They prevented me. They were succeeding, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me. Why? Because he delighted in me. Man, God loves you. He loves his kids. I mean, what an image of what God's reaction was to David being messed with, right? When you think about what it is to be a parent, if your kid is getting, you know, in trouble or is any way being bullied or whatever, like, it's just like, go time, right? And that's how God is with us. He will rush right to our side, to our aid. He will take care of us. Because he loves us. He delights in us. Verse 21, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to my cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. So he did his word, and God is going to honor that and respect that and deliver you. Finally, go to Psalm 46, verse 1. Psalm 46, 1. So that's how much God cares about you. He will rush to your side. He will deliver you. And even when it's too much for you to handle, it's not too much for God to. Psalm 46, 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. So even in a giant natural calamity like that, we won't need to fear, because God is our strength. It says in verse 1 that he's a very present help in trouble. He's right there. That's what it is to be very present. He's right there with you in trouble. Verse 3, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, consider this. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God and the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. So these giant armies or these big groups of heathen, unbelievers, they may rage, it might move some kingdoms. You know, that's a big deal. It says the heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, and then it says, he, God, uttered his voice, the earth what? Melted. So even if there's all this calamity going on, sure, people can make a lot of noise. There can be a lot of destruction going on. God talks and the entire earth would melt away. That's the power of God. That's the contrast. All of this might seem like a big deal, but God is bigger. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. God will not leave you. He will deliver you. He will take care of you.